All right. God bless everybody. And of course, the name of the song was Somebody Prayed. Hopefully, we'll be able to listen to that, but maybe you know it by recognition. But it's a really cool song. And since I'm going to share a little bit tonight on exercising our authority in relation to prayer, I thought that would be a great song to hear. So, what I wanted to share tonight is what really blessed me a lot. I was sitting in a Believer's Advance in Winfield, Kansas back in October, hosted by Patty and Robert Wilkinson. And the title of the advance was Understanding Our Authority. And one of the teachings there was exercising one's authority through prayer. And it just hit me like a ton of bricks. So I thought I'd kind of recap it in the way I digested it and consumed it. But the teacher that did it at the advance is John Dowdle. And you might know him from the Ken's Fellowship there in Tucson. But one of the red threads during the advance is that our authority has much to do with our position as children of the one true God. And tonight I'd like to communicate two themes about exercising our authority by prayer. One is think about the unique relationship we have as children of the one true God. And number two, what should our prayer life be like? What can we expect from our prayers? And so in your Bibles, I have it written down in front of me, so I will give you the reference if you want to turn there. That's great. We're going to be going to 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 2. But we'll see how these two themes kind of flow through here, because in each of these records that we'll be reading, it kind of comes up again and again. But it does set the tone for our authority through prayer. So in 1 John chapter 3, we read in King James, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." What a unique relationship we have with the one true God. He calls us his kids. Now are we the sons of God. Now, right now. And it's not just it's saying it here, but we really are. We are the sons of God. And he calls us his sons and daughters. And that's God talking. That's something we see here through all these scriptures. It's God saying this to us through the scriptures. So what a unique relationship we have with the one true God. He calls us his sons, and he gives us this huge advantage in living life. I mean, we have purpose in life. We have all the sonship rights. We have the spiritual enablements. Our spiritual toolbox, all these great things, the written word, the one body of Christ. What I don't know what more advantage you could have. And so keeping on this theme about our unique relationship, which is our foundation for our authority, I'm going to go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. And this one happens to be the ESV version. So give you a couple seconds if you're following along. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, again, what a truly blessed life that we have with our Heavenly Father and our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who happens to be the CEO and the CFO and the COO of the one body. And he earned it. So we get to work with him. But we truly have a blessed life. And this is a unique relationship that we have that forms our position and our authority. So going to Hebrews chapter 10, more on this unique relationship. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 and 20. So, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Because of what Jesus Christ accomplished for us, we get to enjoy being God in God's presence. We have a new and living way to live life in his presence. And this relationship didn't exist before either. It's a brand new way of living life. And in fact, you have to be born again to enjoy it. So it's a powerful relationship, too. It's one only us kids have with the Most High God. So you can see we're kind of painting a picture here of our position as sons of God and therefore the authority we have. And, you know, what expectations can we now have because of this new relationship with God? Well, one of them is going to be in our prayer life. And so that's what we're going to jump off here into the what our prayer life could be like or what we expect it to be like. So in Hebrews 8, verse 6, actually this is a little more in our unique relationship, but now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. So God arranged all this stuff. He arranged all this new way of living and the better promises. And there was no cause in our lives for God to make this available. It was his love. And there was no cost to us either. So what should our prayer life look like? We'll be looking at three believers whom God calls out in his word. And the first one is Elijah. He's an Old Testament believer that we, you know, we all know about, who had a great connection with God. And he prayed 3 years and 6 months for no rain. And then one day he prays again, and now it rains and there's no drought and everybody's happy. He is the example of an effectual, fervent prayer. And so he, being an Old Testament believer under the old covenant and the old promises, look what he expected. He prayed 3 years and 6 months for no rain, and it didn't rain. And there's a lot of other things about his life, too, but he said, an example of effectual fervent prayer. And God is calling his life out in James chapter 5, verse 16. And so if God's calling his life out as an example of a righteous man's prayer, fervent prayer, then what can we expect? What should we expect? Verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. So what should our prayer life be like as born-again ones? who have this access with, to God with confidence and boldness. And we're as righteous can be. So I ask again, what should our prayer life be like as a born-again one? What should we be expecting? And what should our prayer life look like? So in Ephesians chapter 3, actually, I'm not going to go there. I'm going to go to Colossians chapter 1, actually. And we're going to talk about another believer that God calls out for his prayer life named Epaphras. And it's really cool, and this is what really blessed me is at the advance, this teaching that God's calling out and highlighting this believer who's a fellow servant, a faithful minister. He's one of us. And God is calling out his prayer life, and it's just a great, great example for us to heed. And the great thing is, when we read this, we can and we should see ourselves in Epaphras' shoes. And we probably have been. But for me, it was just a great kind of, I don't know if it was a wake-up call or just a great reminder, or just God exhorting me or whatever, but it really kind of had it just hit me like a ton of bricks. So anyway, Colossians 1, verse 6 through 11, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you since the day you heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. In verse 7, as ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. And God is saying this about Epaphras. He's revealing it, and Paul wrote it. But God is saying this about Epaphras, that he's a faithful minister and a fellow servant. And God is telling us this. This is in the Word for us to read and heed. And I was kind of saying, kind of tune our hearts to God's Word. So God is saying this about Epaphras. So we should be looking at our own lives like this. When we should be looking at ourselves as fellow servants and faithful ministers. And that's just the start. Sometimes, you know, we let the world and even our own mind dilute our identification in Christ. And this whole section here in Colossians, this is where our identification in Christ meets the road, so to speak. As we're fellow servants and faithful ministers, and we're taking our identification in Christ, we're taking it to the road. We're putting it in action. And so God's telling us, he's showing this stuff. In verse 9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord and to all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. So God inspired Paul and the other believers to pray for the Colossians' further growth. And Epaphras was right there on the forefront. In fact, the inspiration to Paul to do that was Epaphras, his excitement, his deep passion that for the Colossians. And so we hear this in verse 9, for this cause also since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will. And this is God's kind of showing us what our prayer life can be like, where we're praying for other folks to be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that they grow in understanding God's word and applying the principles, and in, especially in the Holy Spirit field, and how they could walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. So it's just really cool to see how Epaphras and his passion for the Colossians, and in fact for the couple other churches there, kind of got this whole thing going with Paul. And is this our prayer life? That's kind of the question that kind of flows through on these scripture records. What should our prayer life be like? What can we expect from our prayers? Well, God has shown us, he's laying this out for us to read and then ask ourselves, what can we expect? And are we there? Are we praying for stuff like this? Is our deep passion for people to grow in understanding the Word of God and applying it in all areas of the Word, all areas of their life? So God's revelation of his heart for your own and others' lives is now, not just in the first century church. This is now. This is his heart for us now. And he wants to fill our lives with wisdom and knowledge. He wants us to be in tune with his heart. So another point is that when we speak this over our own lives or others' lives, there's tremendous authority in releasing the power of God there. And you probably felt it. I mean, you've probably been through that on the receiving end. And I'm sure we've all had experiences along those lines where you get prayed for, or somebody's maybe ministering to you for other things, maybe not just health, but other things going on. And there's just a lot of power being released. And sometimes we don't see it. Sometimes it just happens. But we have to trust God that it does happen. And just believe that there is tremendous authority when we pray for people, and especially, in their growth and understanding. So let's continue on in chapter 4 of Colossians. Chapter 4, verse 12. Back to Epaphras. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. And so God, again, he's saying this, he's highlighting this about Epaphras, but he might as well be saying it about us. Why not? We are a servant of Christ. We're a servant of Christ. We're out there. We're a faithful minister. And God is also saying he's pretty thrilled with Epaphras' heart for other believers by highlighting this, what Epaphras does. And so we have to ask ourselves, what is our prayer life going to be like? Are we praying in authority? Are we using our authority as sons of the Most High God, and are we expecting things to happen because of that authority? And the wording in here in this verse in Colossians 4:12, that you may stand perfect, and so perfect is wanting nothing, so that they may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. So his prayer is that they grow in their understanding and they become mature believers, where they're wanting nothing. They are fully instructed on their sonship rights, their relationship with God, all the enablements, all the great things that God has blessed us with. And so we have to think of that the same way, too, is we're complete. We're wanting nothing. We do have a lot of room for improvement, I'll put it that way. But in terms of what God has given us, we're wanting nothing. And that's the mindset that Epaphras had, not only for himself, but for those people that he's praying for. So in Colossians 1, going back to Colossians 1, we're going to go to verse 27 through 28. So, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. That is God's heart for all men. And that's why these prayers are so powerful. That's why he is highlighting Epaphras' heart here, Epaphras is praying for these Colossians, these wonderful believers, and they're warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. And that's what we can expect in our prayer life, and what we should be expecting. So that was Colossians 4:12, yeah. So Epaphras was so blessed to see these things happen in his own life that he had a deep passion for the same things to happen for the Colossians. And as I mentioned, that he also prayed for the churches in Laodicea and Hierapolis. As Paul was saying here in verse 12 or verse 13, for I bear him record that he hath great zeal for you and them in Laodicea and them in Hierapolis. So, again, God is highlighting Epaphras' heart of prayer and his expectations for his prayer. And so we have to, again, ask ourselves, is that something we're expecting? Is that something that our prayer life is passionate about? And so we're going to another thing I want to point out is it's about prayer. God is talking a lot about the prayer here, but it's God showing us something about the heart of the person praying, and that's what he's pointing out. That's why he's highlighting Epaphras' life. And why can't this be spoken about our life? Why shouldn't it be? Are questions we should ask ourselves. It all flows back to our position as sons of the one true God and our authority that we have and our identification in Christ. And Epaphras, another thing he did is he truly believed his prayers made a difference in their lives. That's why he was so deeply passionate about praying for him. He knew that there was going to be radical things happening when he prayed, and they did. And he didn't question whether things would happen. He just was so convinced in his mind that they would happen, and that's why he prayed. And that's walking in authority. When you pray, you know that God is there working in that situation. I'm going to go to Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to talk about Paul to wrap this up. So, of course, Paul, he did a lot of things, and his life, too, is a great example of prayer with authority. And here in verse 10 of chapter 6 in Ephesians, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And Paul here is saying the true strength is in the Lord. And because of that, he could do all things through Christ who strengthened him. And he was content, whether he was had abundance or he didn't have abundance, he was still content. He could handle anything. And so our spirit, our prayer life, the authority, it's about spiritual power too, being activated in other people's lives. And as we'll see here in this record, Ephesians 6 and verse 18, Paul is saying, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. So something is radically happening when our prayer and spirit is activated. And so Paul, God is laying this out too and showing us that there's great things can happen with prayer and spirit, and that we pray, that we're diligent about it as well. And kind of another kind of side note, Paul coveted these prayers for himself, because he knew the power that can be activated by prayer, by believers praying for him, especially prayer in the Spirit. And so, you know, again, God had this written to us just so we know or are reminded that we have authority to pray. And when we do this, we'll see things happen radically. I'm going to wrap it up in back in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 through 3. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us the door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. Our prayer should be full of thanksgiving. We should be praying for what God has called us to do and to make a difference. And and for a door of utterance, and Paul here is asking for them to pray for a door of utterance and that he could speak the mystery of Christ. And that's where we are. We're asking for stuff. We're asking God for his word to be carried out here on earth, and just for believers' lives to be blessed and full of wisdom and understanding. And so that's what I wanted to just kind of bring forth tonight, is just this unique relationship we have as children of one true God as it relates to our exercising our authority by prayer. And especially that we ask questions like, what should our prayer life be like? And what can we expect from our prayers? When we read these records, that we're asking these questions, and that's kind of what got me going. So I love you guys, and also I want to give you the information. If you wanted to see this teaching by John in its entirety in person, you go to the YouTube channel that's at Wildfire Ministries Global, and it's Understanding Our Authority, Part 2. But it's a great teaching. I was just thoroughly blessed and inspired. So God bless you all. Love you big time.